is from the Old Testament. Let's open our Bibles from the Old Testament. Psalm 100. Page number is 635 from our pew Bibles. Bibles on the chair, back of the chairs, 635. Before reading the scripture, I will pray. And Heavenly Father, we are ready to open your word. We believe that you spoke to us, you spoke to the prophets and your people all the time, and they wrote down your word. We are about to read, we are about to reflect on your teachings. Would you please move our heart and fill our heart with your spirit? Whether we are reading from the Old Testament, from the New Testament, we want to bring our hearts to our Lord Jesus Christ. And Heavenly Father, help us to focus our minds and thoughts to you, our Lord, and so that through our worship service, we will only think of Jesus Christ and we will glorify him alone. We pray your Son in Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 100 from Old Testament, Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Amen. This is the word of God. Psalm 100 is a great psalm for us to read during Thanksgiving season, when we have something to pray, when we have reason to praise our Lord. It's a great psalm because it reminds us what God has been and doing and has done for us. Based on the title, Psalm 100, we see that this psalm is for Thanksgiving psalm. Some scholars said this is confession psalm, and either works fine. I think both ways is really good to describe Psalm 100. It's a good psalm for every Christian to read and to meditate and to reflect on, especially Thanksgiving Day. This psalm is a great psalm because it's really simple and short, five verses, and it has seven imperatives, which means seven commanding forms in this psalm. So based on these seven imperatives, we will look at seven commanding from our psalm. So this is a great psalm for Christians to begin the worship service, because commanding Christians what to do and know God and serve God and make a joyful noise to God. This psalm was sung by God's people, and especially in the Old Testament, when worshipers, when they come to the temple, before getting into the temple, they were encouraged by the choir members and to make a joyful noise, not just quietly coming into the temple, but joyful noise and singing of praises, something like that. This is a great psalm. Not only just singing and praising the Lord in the sanctuary before coming into the sanctuary, but this psalm gives us how we have to prepare our hearts before coming to our God. This is a great psalm for that, especially the worshipers were at the time encouraged to not just only making noises, but give thanks to the Lord before you coming to God's presence, coming, entering the temple. So, many scholars agree that this psalm is kind of based on Leviticus chapter 7, verses 12 and 15, in kind of background, which is a thanksgiving sacrifice. So worshipers shared meals, and after that, so which is what we will do after service. After service, they share the meals. And so this is basically Thanksgiving psalm. So they, I picked this psalm. This is basic information about our psalm. What are those seven commanding words, imperative words? The first one is simple. In verse 1, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. It's interesting verse. The psalmist extends his invitation, not just only worshipers and Christians and God's people, but at the end of verse 1 says, all the earth. Now it reminds us of who God is. God is the one created everything, created the world. So the declaring to the world that God made you this world, so all the earth come and make a joyful noise. Everything in the world is belonging to our God. So therefore, come and make a joyful noise to Him and praise His almighty power and His our sovereign God together. At the same time, inviting all the people, make a joyful noise before God. That means humble yourself before God. Recognize the God of creation. Recognize His sovereign power. So inviting all the people. The remaining verse, the meaning of the first words actually in Hebrew is not just only joyful noise, but it's raise a shouting and give a blast with a horn. It's really loud and really crazy sound. So the psalmist is inviting, that is our action when we come to the Lord, when we come to the sanctuary and before God. This is our heart must be like that, and blasting our horns and trumpets and something like that, making really loud noise before God. That should be our joyful noise today, praising God for His blessings for us throughout this year. What He has done for us over the years. Especially when we look at the book of Ephesians, we have learned that God chose us and to be His holy people, elected us. That is very special. Not singled out, but we are inside of God's grace community and grace upon us, upon our lives. Even Jesus Christ is a sacrifice on the cross, reminds us of why we have to make a joyful noise when we come to the sanctuary. We also praise God for His guidance over the year and His protection, even when we were suffering. Think of Job in the Bible. And our Bible says Job was blameless and upright. There was no reason to be persecuted or have some difficult moments. And he says, one who feared God and turned away from evil. He's a perfect man in the Bible. But he has 7 sons and 3 daughters and 7,000 sheep and 3 camels and 5 oxen, 5 female donkeys. He has a lot. But he has many servants as well. But when he was suffering, when he lost everything, this is worse in chapter 2 and verse 9. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? And she said, curse God and die. That's kind of a shocking statement. Curse God and die because you're suffering. And verse 10, Job said, but he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Why? Shall we receive good from God? And shall we not receive evil? And in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. We praise the Lord. We give thanks to Him. Not only good things that we have. Sometimes through our sufferings and difficult moments, we praise the Lord. That's what Job teaches us today. That's why we're making a joyful noise when we come to the Lord. Lord, I am suffering. Lord, this is my situation. But now I'm making joyful noise in whatever my situation. That's the first command. The second one is to serve the Lord with gladness. That's verse 2. The word to serve in the Old Testament is kind of a political word because asking, serve your king. Indicating that from this verse that God is true God, only God. That psalmist is teaching that our God is the true God, the only God. And this word and the serve is used in Moses when he asked Pharaoh to leave, let his people go. And in Exodus in chapter 7 and 17, verse 16, and he asked that, and you shall say to him, the God told Moses, the Lord God of the Hebrews sent me to you and saying, let my people go that they may serve me in the wilderness. So the theme of serving, serve the Lord and serve your king is a big theme in the Old Testament. Because by doing that, you recognize your position. By doing that, you recognize who is the Lord. So here in verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness means, it means worshiping God alone and not something else. Not Pharaoh or not other false gods in Egypt at the time. Even to us, around us. Not something else around us. That's why God said in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 23, it's obvious that He said, I am the Lord your God. And He explains what He did. Who brought you out of the land of Egypt? God saved us. And out of the house of slavery. In verse 3, therefore, you shall have no other gods before me. It strikes our hearts because oftentimes we have something in our hearts, occupying our hearts. But God clearly commanded us, you shall have no other gods before me. I am your Lord and your God. Serve the Lord with gladness. And God is saying that don't be confused by other gods, false gods that you will face, speaking to the Israelites. And another word saying that do not lose your heart. Serve God and worship God, the true God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Serve God and worship God who actually saved you from your sins. Therefore, this is our heart too. When we come to the Lord, when we remember God's blessings during our Thanksgiving season, we must have this mind and this heart, serve our God alone. We are called to serve Him alone, not something else. But we realize that oftentimes our hearts are drifted from God and serving different things. The questions for this one is, have we faithfully served our God this year or some months? Have we gladly served Him, our God, this year? Joy and gladness is coming from when we serve our God, when we worship Him. Has come together. This is the second commandment. The third one is come into His presence with singing. That is also verse 2. Now here the psalmist invites the worshipers to come to the temple to worship God together. This is kind of community action. And come into His presence with singing. Kind of repeating in verse 1. Somehow it's related to verse 1 and 2. Beginning of the verse 2. Make a joyful noise and serve God. Serve the Lord. Now here the psalmist describes the ancient worship service. People are coming to the temple. And they're making lots of noises before God. And as they are coming and making lots of noise to God, they're starting their worship. Then their hearts were filled with joy and gladness, thinking of what God has done for them. And joy and gladness comes from God's word and His presence. So the psalmist commands the worshipers here, Because of joy and gladness comes from God and God's word. And please come. And you have to come. Come into His presence. Nowhere in the world you could find peace and joy and gladness. But only in God's presence. Everything is from God. And worshiping God is an exciting moment and thrilling moment for all the Christians and God's people, because we will experience that no one understands, no one knows about it, that God's peace, His love and joy and gladness. And God's people should be with Him and all the time, not just only Sunday when we come to the church. We have to be with God all the time, under His mighty power, under His love and protection. And joy and peace and love, everything comes from Him. We feel these things all the time. This is what the psalmist inviting the people, come into His presence. And a short phrase here in verse 2 tells us many things. Come into His presence and also serve the Lord. Both phrases. We come to this place, our church, New Hope Church, to worship God today. Special worship service. We celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ every Sunday. And we call it Lord's Day. Like the Israelites, we read from the Bible, we make lots of noises when we come to God and when we worship Him. Before God's presence, His holy presence, we also bring our broken hearts and our prayer requests. Sometimes no one knows. We bring it to Him. Before God's presence, we reaffirm His promise and His covenant with us. So this is a great moment. And before His presence, also we humble ourselves and we give honor and glory to Him. Therefore, it should be our practice bringing ourselves to God and coming to His presence. And I wrote in my sermon manuscript, the Bible teaches us that this is very important, worshiping God. That means Sunday worship service must be the beginning of our week, our day. We will be spiritually recharged, reconfirmed with the Word of God when we come to the Lord, when we serve the Lord, when we be with His presence, with His singing, we will be recharged and reaffirmed. We should be thankful that we have a church to come, and church to worship God. And we know that many Christians in the world, that they don't have places to go. They don't have places to worship. But we do have our church. So it must be, it's our joy to come. I don't know. Maybe you have the same feeling. But when I read different books, not the Bible, but stories or someone else's testimonies, like a missionary's report, especially people in Africa. I think Kathy told me before about that. They were traveling a couple hours to go to a worship place. A couple hours. You know why? Because joy in their hearts. 3 to 4 hours, nothing. Because they want to see, they want to listen to God's word. That is joy. They want to be before God's presence. So 3 hours, 4 hours, walking, traveling, go there. Not just only one worship service. Be there all day long and worship God and making joyful noises all day long and returning home a few hours. Compared to those Christians out there, even people in China, or people in North Korea, or people in different areas, different world, those who are persecuted, we are very relaxed and easy. We drive sometimes 40 minutes and 35 minutes. But we're living in a world that many things are distracting us. So busy, sometimes we feel, I don't want to go to church. So when we read this psalm, come into His presence with singing. And we have to remember what God wants us. He calls us to this place, not just only on Sunday worship, but during the week you can come to the Lord's place and pray. You can participate in different ministry. And the psalmist is inviting us that everything must be starting from God's temple, God's word. Now we are very thankful that we have the place here that we can come. The next one is know that the Lord is Lord, He is God. The psalmist invites the Israelites now in the know about God. Not to learn about God, but here commanding that know about Him. Know Him better. Not to just recognize who God is, what the Lord is, He's doing, but this, in the original language, it should be translated like this. Yahweh is God. Now here the psalmist tells about God in the next phrases, a couple of things he says. Yahweh is God. Why? Because He who made us. Do you know that God made us? The second one is the Lord. Yahweh is the creator. Here is the verb made that we read. He is a very special word in the Bible. And to the Israelites, when they read this one, they should remember who God is. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 2 says, "Thus says the Lord, who made you? And who formed you from the womb and will help you." Says that God created you, who formed you. Know that who made you. Not your mom and dad, but God actually made you. He formed you. He is your creator. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 6. Is not He your father? And who created you, who made you and established you. Everything God did it. This is awesome verse that we recognize. We know that God is my creator and He is my father. God created you and me. He is our creator. We are His workmanship in Ephesians chapter 2 and 10. So the scholars are saying that the verb made is very special word in this verse, this chapter in Psalm 110. The made is related to Israel's all their history. God's redemption, His creation, what God did to His people. Since God is the creator, since God made you and me, there is only one conclusion from our logical thinking. The psalmist reports three times, we are His, we are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. In the Old Testament, the word the shepherd refers to the kings and the leaders. If you read Jeremiah and Ezekiel, God judges the shepherds of the Israelites, the leaders of the nation. But here in the Bible, we see that God is the shepherd of all the people. Psalm 81, God is the shepherd of Israel. He is our shepherd. And Ezekiel chapter 34 and 11 says the same thing. And at the same time, that means we are His sheep, the sheep of His pasture. That sentence reminds us of we are under His protection. That phrase gives us an image of the divine power and divine shepherd who delivers us and delivers the Israelites from their sins. And however, sometimes we forget that we are the sheep of His pasture. We think that we are having our own lifestyle. We're the master of our own lives. But the psalmist declares that, no, we are His people. God is our shepherd. Therefore, David's confession from Psalm 23, verse 1 must be our confession. We shall not want. It's a great thing for us to think of our Thanksgiving Day and today. We shall not want because we are His. The shepherd will provide us what we need. It's very difficult to believe that all the time. Try to push myself every day and say it to me and just say it aloud. I do too. God will provide me. We shall not want. Because God is my shepherd. Food, water, and everything. I should not worry about it. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. This is a long verse, but I'm going to read it through a little bit. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. What you will eat and what you will drink and know about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? Look at the bird of the air, and then neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? The Bible tells us that God is the one who is taking care of us. God is the one who will take care of us. That's why we have Thanksgiving service today. Therefore, we should not worry about what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear. But we're saying, thank you, Lord, just making noise, and we just come and serve. Know Him better. Knowing that God is the one, He is the one who created. Knowing that He is God, He will provide everything for us. So we trust Him. We give thanks to Him. The next one is verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving. And verse 4 is very short. It repeats a couple of themes that we already mentioned. Verse 4 is actually a conclusion of all seven commanding words. Somehow verse 4 is similar to verse 2. Come into His presence. Verse 4 starts, enter His gates with thanksgiving. We hear word. We see the word thanksgiving here. Here, thanksgiving brings an idea of the sacrifice. That's the concept of thanksgiving in the Old Testament, offering to God in Old Testament culture. So thanksgiving means to also inviting the worshipers to focus what God has done for them. That is the main theme. What God has done for you, therefore you give thanks to Him. That's why the psalmist says again here, verse 4, give thanks to Him, which is the sixth imperative, commanding word. The final, the last one is, bless. To bless His name. Now, we should not be confused. The meaning of bless. We can't bless God. God blesses us. Here, the bless God means to praise Him for His deeds and gifts. Based on the Psalm 16 and 66. I have different verses, but I picked only two verses from Psalm. Based on Psalm 67, use the same word bless. It says, I bless the Lord. Why? Who gives me counsel. So, guidance. God leads me. 66 in verse 20. Blessed be God because He has not rejected my prayer. This is wonderful. Or removed His steadfast love from me. God answers our prayers. Sometimes says yes. Sometimes no. Sometimes quiet. Wait. But eventually God answers our prayers. He has not rejected my prayers. Therefore, we bless Him. We praise Him. These are seven commanding words that we look today. Verse 5 is the climax of Psalm 110. The psalmist tells us reasons for us to praise God. No. Asking God's people, make joyful noise and serve Him and come and know and enter, give thanks to Him, bless Him. All these things in verse 5. Why? For the Lord is good and His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Our God is good, and His steadfast love endures forever, from the beginning to the end, and His faithfulness to all generations. Goodness and divine love and faithfulness. Let's think of our Thanksgiving Day today. Let's look back 2015. How many things you can remember and you can bring to God? Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your love and your faithfulness. I know that many of you are saying every day, but this is a great time for us to be gathering together. And brothers and sisters, the saints of God's people, one place, thinking of God's blessing for us, and His love for us, and His faithfulness for us, which means our church. God is good, and we give thanks to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are very thankful for many things. Sometimes we are forgetting that we have received many things from You. But it's good for us to read Psalm 100 and to be reminded why we have to give thanks to You, why we have to praise You, Lord. Heavenly Father, we bring our hearts to You and continue to bless us, continue to be with us and encourage us so that we will praise You, we will give thanks to You. We pray Your Son in Jesus' name. Amen.